I realize today is the end of the Christmas season. I also realize it's the feast of the baptism of the Lord. But for some reason, John the Baptist leaps off the pages to me. When I last preached, it was John who leapt in his mother's womb as Jesus drew near. This week, the Gospels share with us some 30 years later and how it is still John's heart that leaps when Jesus approaches for his own baptism. There is a faith connection for us in this ebb and flow of John's humanness and questioning. Where his heart leaps for joy at the sight and sound of Jesus, questions still abound. And it says in the Gospel, John conceives and baptizes, while he still does not fully understand, but he believes. He is arrested for what he believes, but still questions. This hearkens a lot to our own emotions in our own developing relationship with Jesus. It is this tender faith that is dealt with as a teacher and a preacher. It is a blessing and a challenge to teach sacraments to high school boys. And since so many of you asked if you could audit my classes, I thought that I would actually just bring a class to you tonight. And you see, we have deep questions. We seek and share answers. We have ageless wonderings of the hearts, regardless of our age. Deep and great questions that are always shadowed by great doubt. Questions sometimes from the kids get far ranging from high, medium to low, but some of the questions are like, well, if John the Baptist's last name is actually Baptist, does that mean he's the one that founded baptism? And then there's the real zinger. Questions like, well, why did Jesus, the sinless Son of God, receive baptism of repentance that was meant for sinners? Or questions like, where was he for 30 years? And was Mary always with him? Well, let's start at the beginning. Neither John or Jesus actually invented baptism. It was an ancient ritual that had been practiced for centuries among the Jews, and it was basically the ritual equivalent to one of our own sacraments, our sacrament of confession. It was practiced until the fall of the temple in 70 AD, and it was common for Jewish people to use a special pool called a mikvah, which literally meant a collection of water. It was used as a means of spiritual cleansing to remove spiritual impurity and sin. Men took the bath weekly on the eve of the Sabbath, women monthly, and converts were expected to take this bath before they would enter Judaism. Orthodox Jews to this day still retain this rite. John the Baptist preached that such a bath was necessary as preparation for this complete upheaval that would be presented when the Messiah arrives. From our perspective, the Catholic Church sees that it is Jesus that has transformed the ancient ritual into one single definitive act by which we begin to live out our very own faith life. Baptism comes from the Greek word baptizen, which means to plunge or to immerse. It is in the waters of baptism that we see so many profound lessons that it can be overwhelming. If we look at just a few from a biblical perspective, we could see how the water holds both life and death. It holds life at creation, where we see the Spirit hovering over the waters in the story of creation in the book of Genesis. Life for Noah and his passengers, and death to those that did not listen. Life for Israel as they passed dryshod through the Red Sea, and death to those who did not see. For the Son of God, life to his ministry, and death to original sin for those who will follow. For you and I, eternal life, and death to old ways, should we choose to accept. At the baptismal font, when we came into church, we cross ourselves, we sign ourselves, we confess ourselves, we profess ourselves as children, grafted to Jesus Christ, our brother. It is in this grafting that allows us to say a very, very early church prayer that was called the Prayer of Believers. It was a prayer that could only be said after baptism, which is now today known as the Our Father. Once we're grafted to Jesus, our brother, we can now call God our Father. The event of Christ's baptism has even more questions and symbols that leap off the pages in the Bible. We see a mystical experience that Jesus could have felt deep within his soul at a crucial turning point of his life. We see the opening of heavens with the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon Jesus. The theophany, the physical appearance of God declaring Jesus, God saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Theophanies are manifestations of God, his true presence revealed to man. They light up the path to salvation. And they've been in the Bible from the very earliest of times, from the patriarchs of Abraham, Moses, to Joshua, all the way through to Christ. These are God's revelations to mankind of the mystery that he is triune. The presence of the Trinity at the baptism reveals the fulfillment of God's promises of the Old Testament, the promises that are now to be instituted by Jesus himself. And you add in the supplementation of the Holy Spirit, and it helps us all fulfill our work. All of God's work is manifested when he descends on Jesus in the form of a dove. Why a dove? Because a dove is a symbol of gentleness. And the message came down to us. Jesus now preaches the good news. The good news that a loving Father wants to save all human beings of their sins through his Son. While God's Word allowed himself to be seen and heard, an existence previously concealed in the shadows of creation, the heavens opening, revealing God's physical presence, indicate that this was a moment, this was a pivotal, critical moment that we had in human history and the life of his Son. You see, God comes to us in the Bible, in sacraments, in prayer, in theophanies, in Jesus. God seeks you. So why did Jesus, the sinless Son of God, receive the baptism of repentance that was meant for sinners? Well, that's easy, for you and for me. His baptism by John was a very important event of Jesus' life. First, it was a moment of decision. It was marked by the end of Jesus' commission to his earthly Father and the beginning of his commission to his heavenly Father. It was the end of a private life that prepared him for public ministry. And at his baptism, Jesus received assurances from heaven about his very own identity, that he was the chosen one and the beloved Son of God. As well, what he was supposed to do, his mission of saving mankind, would be fulfilled. It would not be fulfilled through the conquering of the Roman Empire. No, it would be completed and accomplished by becoming a suffering servant. So what does this mean for our own lives? As we reflect on the baptism of Jesus, it reminds us of our own identity and what we are supposed to do. It reminds us not only of who we are, but whose we are. Not just who we are, but whose we are. Baptism reminds us that we've become adoptive sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus, royalty, members of his church, heirs of heaven, and temples of the Holy Spirit. We've become incorporated into the church, and is this basis of all of our Christian life and the gateway to the rest of the sacraments we could receive in our lifetime. Most of us dipped our fingers into the baptismal font and blessed ourselves when we came into church, and this blessing is supposed to remind us of our own baptism. And so when we bless ourselves with holy water, we should consider this fact that we are children of God and that we've been redeemed by the cross and that we've made members of God's family. And we've been washed, forgiven, cleansed, and purified by the blood of the Lamb. It was Jesus that heard the ordaining words of his being beloved. Oh, how we long to hear those words, that we are beloved, We long to hear it from those around us, and we long to hear it from the voice within ourselves and the voice of God. Be attentive to what we listen to, because it determines what you hear. Today, dip your finger in the baptismal font, feel the holy water, and believe in the message, and believe in the messenger. He walks us prayerfully through his very public life of love, so that we can do the same in our own, by being visible signs of an invisible grace, and share his love with all those people we encounter.